And then you know what the first thing? No, man, you know, I only got one trip planned. I can't go on any more trips. You know, I don't have the money. You know, the first thing I do is go pray about it. I go pray about it. And then the Lord will speak to my heart, and then I will let them know that, you know, that God is not working in my life. But the first thing when we are challenged, when our faith is challenged, a lot of times we just come up, man. We dig down into the bag. Instead of saying, let me go pray about it and see if this is what God would have me to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith.
Here, Moses, a blank check. And you write in with it. And you write in whatever it is that you need. I am. And if God has called us to do something, there's, you know, God is going to fit the bill for this new sanctuary. Now, hopefully you will be a participant in it, but God is going to foot the bill. He's either going to bless the members with the cash to be able to give to build it, or he's going to work it out. No question in my mind. If God supplies where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. God will make a way in our lives. And we don't need to have any excuses. Throw all the excuses out the window. As a matter of fact, what did it say? That God got angry with Moses because he kept giving excuses. See, you know, the problem is, you know, why do people offer excuses? Is because when they lack faith, they don't really realize who the great I am is. See, and until God opens your eyes and gives you a revelation of himself so that you can see that there is no lack or there's no need, then you will always be operating behind the eight ball. You know, I think of, and I know I've told this story here before, but it's just so apropos to the sermon this morning. I remember when Jonathan and Rachel were little, and we had gone into the 7-Eleven to get a drink. And they went in and they got their drinks. And I think my wife had given them money and they paid for their stuff. And I went in and I was getting some stuff. So I was the last one out. And I went out and went over to pay for my stuff. And the man told me that it was like a dollar more than what I had gotten. I said, I know that this don't cost that much. And he said, well, you know, there was a little boy in here, and he didn't have enough money to pay for what he got. And he said, you see that guy over there? That's my dad, and whenever he comes, he'll take care of it. See, you know, we need to have the same attitude about God. That if God has called us to do something, then that's my father. That's my father. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah or Yahweh Roy, the Lord who goes on shepherding me, who goes on taking care of me, who goes on supplying my needs. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And when we understand that the fact that the Lord is our shepherd, then we can step out because we know that he's going to supply whatever it is that we need. Let's look at some of Moses' excuses. The first excuse is found in chapter 3 and verse 11. Basically, Moses says that I'm undeserving, that I am undeserving. He says in chapter 3, verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? And you know what I've done? I brought to the pulpit this morning a bag. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to tell me what kind of bag this is. No, it's not a shopping bag. That's a good try. What kind of bag is it? Excuse bag. There you go. A bag of excuses. And you can reach down in the bag and you can begin to pull out any excuse that you want. They're all in here. They're all in here. And so Moses reached down into the bag, and the first excuse that he pulled out of the bag is he said that I'm undeserving. He said, I'm not worthy. He said, who am I? You know, I'm 80 years old. I killed a man many years ago, and I'm out here watching my father-in-law's flock. Who am I? You know, there's people that are princes, and there are kings, and there are other people that are more worthy than me to do this job. Who am I that I should go? That's the first excuse that he put. Who am I? And the fact of the matter is, who is any of us that God should touch us? Who is any of us? Yeah, you know my testimony. I had to speak in a class in college. And when I had to give that speech, I was all semester. I don't know how I got at the end of the list. All semester, people were getting up there giving speeches. And I said, the day is going to come for me to have to get up there and give that speech. And I thought about that. I stayed up at night because I was seeing. And the night before I had to give my speech, man, I couldn't sleep. And I got up there the next day. And I took that piece of paper, and I read my speech, and I quivered in my voice, and I just couldn't wait to get finished. And when I got done, I said, I'm never going to stand up and speak to the public again. Who am I? Who am I that God should touch me? I'm not going to argue with him. If he says I can do it, then I just need to be obedient to prepare myself and equip myself to do what it is that he has called me to do. So Moses reaches down into the bag and he says that he was undeserving. The second excuse that Moses gives is he says, not only am I undeserving, but I am unauthorized. I am unauthorized. Look what he says in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and when they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? See, you know, Moses, you got too many questions. I'm unauthorized. That's in the bag. You know, What can I say? Lord, I'm going to go down there, and these folk been in Egypt 400 years. 400 years. And you telling me to go down there and tell them, let's leave. Who am I to go and tell them that? But see, once again, now, you done already saw a bush that was fire. That was burning. And the thing that caught your attention is that the bush didn't go out. That the fire in the bush never went out. And now you got all these questions. I shouldn't even have to tell you that I am. You should be able to just think back to the bush or look at the bush that was burning and that doesn't go out, and you should be ready to roll. You should say, let's roll, God. But now you're finding these excuses as to why it is that you can't do this. You know, I had to laugh. I found this list of excuses as to why excuses that people gave, and these are real excuses that people gave when they turned in the forms for a car accident. Listen to some of the excuses that people put down on the claim form. The pedestrian had no idea which way to run, so I ran him over. The pedestrian hit me and went under my car. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over an embankment. I thought my window was down, but I found it was up when I put my head through it. I didn't think the speed limit applied after midnight. The accident happened when the right front door of a car came around the corner without giving a signal. I left for work at 7 a.m. as usual when I collided straight into a bus. The bus was 5 minutes early. I like this one. An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous. And here you got God that has all power, that says, I am the great I am. I am the sustainer of all things. Nothing was made that was not made by me. I am not only the sustainer of all things, but I am the creator of all things. I don't need anything to exist. I exist within myself. I'm not dependent on anything else outside of me. I am that I am. How ridiculous any excuse that we can give to I am. It sounds just like this. Just like these excuses that these folk gave for their car accident. As much as we sat here and all of us would say, man, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable that they would try to use those excuses. And here again, I believe that God sits in heaven, and when he hears our excuses, God says, that's unbelievable. But he continues to indulge Moses, because Moses comes back in verse 1 of chapter 4, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to thee. Undeserving, unauthorized, and what? Unconvincing. Unconvincing. Nobody will believe me. Nobody will give a listen or open their heart or open their ears to what I have to say. In other words, what was Moses saying? He says, I fear rejection. I fear failure, which when we look on that slide that we saw, that there were about a good percentage of the congregation that feared failure. And that's basically what Moses was saying. Moses was saying, Lord, I fear failure. I fear the fact that if I go and I tell them that no one will believe me. And I fear that rejection. And look what God does. Only God. Look what he does. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran away from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it up, and it became a rod in his hand. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? That would convince me right there. Much as we hate snakes, that would convince me right there. Look what he said in verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put forth thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out, and behold, it was turned again as flesh. My. And it came to pass, if they will not believe, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And if it come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that they shall take of the water of the river and pour it upon the land, and the land which thou takest out of the river shall become blood and dry land. Three miracles God gives Moses to tell him, this is who I am. I am, I am. I am Yahweh. And then number 4, Moses comes back again. I am undeserving, I am unauthorized, I am unconvincing. And then number 4, he says, I am unfit. I am unfit. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, there's a lot of controversy as to what Moses' speech, slow of speech and tongue is. Some people believe that he just hadn't, since he was an Egyptian, that he hadn't really mastered the language of the Hebrews, so he would be slow of speech. That's one thing. Most commentators are agreed that he had a stuttering speech. And now, who made the mouth? Who made the tongue? Good friend of mine. You guys bless my heart. Y'all bless my heart when you invited Dr. Alan McFarland to the 20-year anniversary. That was a blessing. I wasn't ready for that. I was surprised. Almost did a Fred Sanford. Alan McFarland has, notice I didn't say has one of the biggest speech impediments of anybody that I know. There's times that I get with Alan and he'll try to get out, and he especially has problems with V's and F's. And so anything that, you know, is V or F, you know, he just, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel sorry for the brother because he has a hard time getting it out. But, you know, every time that brother stands in the pulpit, to preach God's word, you would never know that he has that problem. And the only reason I know it, because we used to study late at night, and he started getting tired. And whenever he got tired, then that's when it really got bad. So I noticed it then. But if God calls you to do something, God will take care of whatever it is that you need to do. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. I am slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. I'm unfit. But God knows about your problem even before he called you. God knew Moses had a problem with his tongue when he saw him at the bush, when he saw him out there watching his father-in-law's flock. God knew that Moses had a problem. Moses didn't have to tell God that he had a problem. Was that some new revelation to God? God knew that he had a problem. But Moses didn't know that and forgot. Just a little while earlier, God had revealed himself to him as what? The great I am. The great I am. And so Moses offers another excuse. And then finally, I believe that Moses just comes and he says that nothing left in the bag. Nothing left in the bag. Lord, send somebody else. I just don't want to go. I'm undeserving. I'm unauthorized. I'm unconvincing. I'm unfit. And then finally, I am unwilling. I am unwilling. Lord, I just don't want to go. And if many of us, Lord, have mercy this morning, if many of us were honest with ourselves and with God, we would just tell the Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Stop offering excuses and just come down to the bottom line and just tell God. Just be honest with God and tell him that you don't want to do it. But then you got a big problem. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I have a clip as we conclude the message today that I want to show you. Powerful clip. Let us know that no more excuses. I think I showed this before, but it's worth showing again.
I have no formal swim training. I don't own a bike, and I've never run farther than a mile on a set of prosthetics. And I said to myself, I believe God wants me to do an Ironman. Hi, I'm Scott Rigsby. I'm a double amputee and a triathlete. Well, I was 18 years old. I was working a summer job with two of my best friends from high school. We were working for a landscaping company, and we were sitting on the back of this pickup truck. An 18-wheeler had been following us and decided to pass us from behind, so he moved over, and when he did, his vehicle clipped our vehicle. I got knocked off, and my legs got lodged in between our flatbed trailer tire, and I literally bounced up and down the road over 328 feet on the pavement for the next 3 years, from 1994 to 1997. I'm in pretty much a drug-induced coma, addicted to prescription medications. One day I had this
I mean, here's a guy that had every reason to quit and just sit back and let his life go by. And you know, God has called you to a destiny. There's a destiny that God has called you to fulfill, and you're letting excuses get in the way of destiny. This man didn't do that. He didn't let excuses get in the way of his destiny. Too young, too old, no money, uneducated, come from poor background, bad environment. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Let's stop substituting excuses for faith, and let's substitute faith for excuses. Number one. When you are challenged with something that requires great faith, don't make an excuse why you can't do it. First and foremost, take it to the Lord in prayer. Some people, you start, well, you know, we want people to give to the stewardship. I can't afford. Did you pray about it? Did you even take it to the Lord and pray about it? Well, you know, would you go on a missions trip? No, I'm not. Did you pray about it? See, man, we are so wired up with excuses that as soon as we get challenged with something, the first thing that we do is start to make an excuse. And the first thing we should do, I get people, I'll be honest with you, and I'm done. People all the time saying, because they know I'm the pastor of a missions church, I'll be honest with you, they ask me to go on missions trips all the time. To Africa, to Haiti, you know, to China. You know, just because they know I'm the pastor of Bethany, that's a missions church. You know, and I get all kind of invitations to go on all these missions trips. And then you know what the first thing? No, man, you know, I only got one trip planned. I can't go on any more trips. You know, I don't have the money. You know, the first thing I do is go pray about it. I go pray about it. And then the Lord will speak to my heart, and then I will let them know that, you know, that God is not working in my life. But the first thing, when we are challenged, when our faith is challenged, a lot of times we just come up, man. We dig down into the bag. Instead of saying, let me go pray about it and see if this is what God would have me to do. Number two, if God is calling you to do something that requires great faith, realize that our excuses are invalid because he will give you everything you need. He said, I am. Just go back to that. I am. I am what? Whatever you need, that's what I am. Whatever you need, that's what I am. And number three, if God is calling you to do something that requires great faith, don't make excuses, but stand on the promises. Stand on his promises, and God will bring it to pass.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part one of The Excuses of a Sluggard. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest, an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.